Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, we have had church this morning. And don't, you know, let me just clarify something right now. You know, if you can get mad at me if you want to. I really don't care. Just because we have a holiday, that doesn't mean we have to stop everything else. Like, this is Mother's Day. We will honor the mothers after church if we don't do it before, but we're not going to stop having church. We're not going to quit the flow of God to have Mother's Day. That's just... I remember years ago when I was just a little girl, I couldn't stand Mother's Day. I couldn't stand it. Because my father had just lost his mother unexpectedly. And every Sunday, Mother's Day, we would go to church. They'd start singing those old songs, like "If I Could Hear My Mother Pray Again" and stuff like that. Not saying there's anything wrong with those songs. I'm just saying that my father would cry through the whole service. And this man was not a man that would cry, trust me. And, you know, and I thought, and then they would do a lot of stuff. It was a mournful. By the time you got out of there on Mother's Day, you felt like, Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that here. If it's Mother's Day, we will honor you. We'll take care of you. But we ain't going to stop the world for you. I just said this, you know, and I'm a mother, so. And that goes for Father's Day, too. This morning, if you would, I want you to get out your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to talk this morning about a mother's contagious faith. Mothers of faith have changed the course of history. The mother of Moses, I believe her name was Jochebed, might not have had any idea when she hid Moses in the water. Now, you have to understand back then that Pharaoh, there was an evil Pharaoh, and he wanted all the baby boys killed. Can you imagine a little precious infant and just killing it just because it was a boy? You know, this is how evil this man was, and he wanted all the baby Hebrew boys killed. So Jochebed, the mother of Moses, when he was born, instead of, you know, saying, going along with the decree of just go ahead and kill my baby boy, she hid him. I think God let her know that this child was special. And she took him and put him in a basket that was special made, that she special made. And then you got to understand what a sacrifice she made. She went and put him in the Nile River, which had crocodiles. The Egyptian mothers, in order to serve their God, would go throw their babies, their firstborn babies, into the crocodile-infested Nile River to just, you know, they'd have the baby, and then they would go feed it to the crocodiles to offer to their God. But that's not what Jochebed did. She took and tried to protect her child, and then as a result, the little basket floated down to Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine that. And then after all of that, Jochebed was paid to take care of Moses and to raise him. Isn't God good? You know, because Jochebed's daughter said, Miriam, she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Hey, I know somebody to take care of that baby until, you know, it comes of age." And she said, "Really?" And she goes, woman of faith called Hannah. She was the mother of Samuel, the great prophet of God. She became determined. She could not have a baby. And now she had in those days, men had more than one wife. They had several wives, which would not work today, I'm telling you. No. Yes, I hear that, my sister. Yes. It wouldn't work, I'm telling you. But anyway, Hannah's husband had more than one wife, and the other woman, she would make fun of Hannah. I mean, just scorn her for not being able to have a baby. Well, don't you know that Hannah went and was worshiping before God at the temple, and she said to God, she made a vow. She said, "If you'll give me a baby boy, I'll give him back to you." And God did that. He gave her a baby boy. She named him Samuel. She raised him till she had weaned him. I think he was about 3 or something like that. And then she went back and she gave him to the priests at the temple. He grew up to be a mighty, mighty man of God, a prophet of God. But did God just say, okay, that was the only child you get? No, she went on to have a bunch of kids. And if I remember right, she asked God, okay, enough. You can stop anytime. God bless. Thank you so much. And okay, just go ahead and stop that. Then there was a woman named Susanna Wesley. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, who was instrumental with God's power to bring about one of the greatest revival that history has ever seen. Susanna was the youngest of 25 children, and she went on to have 19 children of her own, including 2 sets of twins. She was a very disciplined woman. She had her kids get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do their assigned activities, which I guess was the chores. It's okay, Tammy. It's all right. Don't worry. It's good. It's all good. She scheduled specific activities for her children each hour of the day. She had something planned for those kids. Plus, she set aside an hour each day for a particular child. Thursday was the day she spent with John for an hour of teaching, which I believe at that time she poured into him the Word of God. She poured in of herself, and she loved on these children. And even after they grew up and left home, she would write them about their manner of living and about encouraging them in their belief in God. Just because your kids grow up, you're not done. You're not finished. You know, then you become a grandmother, or you just keep on going. You never stop being. Once you become a mother, you never finish being a mother. You always be your children's mother, whether they like it or not. And then the woman that I'd like to talk about this morning in 2 Timothy 1:1-5, her name, I would like to look at her. Her name is Lois. And we're talking today about her, and we don't know exactly how Lois became a Christian, but at some point we find where she asked Jesus to come into her heart and life, and she chose to serve him. The Bible calls her faith a sincere faith. I'm not with it today. I had a rough night last night. Oh, I think I ate something that didn't sit well with me, so I was up most of the night. So 1 Timothy... 2 Timothy chapter 1. I don't have my normal Bible here, so bear with me just a minute. There we go. Okay, 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God according to the promise of his life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Now you'll understand later that what he's saying here is he's a son in the faith. Grace, mercy, peace from God and Father, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And look here, verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Now, notice that. First it was in the grandmother, right? And then the mother. This woman's faith was so contagious that it's still being talked about today. We don't know, like I said, when Lois became a Christian, but at some point she chose to serve the Lord, and the Bible calls her faith sincere. That tells me that she did not have what I call roller coaster faith. What's roller coaster faith? Well, up one day, woo, down the next, you know, and up back again, and then down again. In one day, out the next day. That is not the kind of faith this woman had. Paul, the Apostle Paul, called her faith sincere faith. She didn't bless one day. She didn't bless her children one day and cuss out her family the next day. Can I just since I don't feel good anyway, can I just be plain? I'm okay, really. I don't believe, and I will tell you again, Christians shouldn't cuss. You shouldn't cuss. Why? Because first of all, nobody wants to hear it. And second of all, it will hurt your testimony. You can't get in front of your children one day and say, oh, Lord, I just love you, and oh, I just bring sacrifice of praise, and then all of that, and then the next day, you blankety-blank, get out of my blankety-blank way. It's not going to work. Nobody's going to take that for serious. That's not sincere faith. This also tells me that she didn't live a sloppy Christian life one day and then preach against it the next day. There's some people, and this includes men too, they will live a sloppy Christian life and then turn around and preach at you for something that you do. Get the timber, the speck out of your own eye, right? Then you can preach to others. I haven't met too many people that have got all the specks out of their own eyes yet, though. So, no, this woman, Lois, she had a made-up mind to be a woman of God. The Bible says her faith was sincere. It was genuine. Oh, how we need to have mothers to rise up in this day and age and say, no matter what, I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter what. If it's popular or if it's not popular, I'm going to serve God. If my family likes it, if they don't like it, I'm going to serve God. If they say, if my friends like it, you know, your friends will say, well, you know, you used to be cool. I'm more cool now than I've ever been. So you can't be, people will say things to you because they want to bring you back down to their level. But you see, the Bible says that you've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So why would you want to go back down to that level again? No, we need to bring them up, not you go down. I would love to hear mothers and grandmothers in this church say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm going to say something, and if this is wrong, please forgive me. If this is a bad thing to say, please forgive me. But, you know, that old expression that says, come hell or high water, I'm going to serve God. Is that bad? If it is, forgive me. But I'm just telling you, come hell or high water, I'm serving God. I am. Because hell will come against you. The demons will come against your family. When they were singing the song this morning, Go Into the Enemy's Camp, and I've shared this with you before, but I love that song because I remember when my son was in the enemy's camp. He was in drugs. I was just talking to Troy yesterday, and I remember saying to him something about finding some paraphernalia in his room and different things, and he looked at me, and I guess I was saying to him, I said to him, this is what I said, Troy, what could I have done different? If you had found that in your son's room, what would you have done? And he said, Mom, I wouldn't have listened to you. Mom, he said, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have made a difference to me what you would have said at that point. And I knew that. That's why I quit talking to him about that. I didn't quit talking to him in general, but I quit talking to him about the things of God because I could have went over to that wall and got more a response out of him, you know. And I've shared this before, but that's when I started calling those things that be not as though they were. That's when I started saying to the devil that was pushing my son Troy, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air and darkness. And so I realized, this is my baby boy. I love him, but I'm going to have to push him out of the way and talk to that foul devil behind him that's pushing him. And I was reading a blog or a thing that Troy put on Facebook the other day, and he said, I stand in awe. He said, my mouth hanging open wide at the awesomeness of God. Look what the Lord has done. I'm telling you. This boy was in trouble. He was in trouble. He was in all kind of trouble. But God got a hold of him. God walked into his room and said, it'll be now or never. And God, his attitude was, I believe it'll be now. You know, because he realized that God had come on the scene. God started talking to him when he was smoking marijuana. It was high as a kite. But God walked in the room and started talking to him. And young people, I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for each one of you. Everyone in this room, God has a plan for you. But, and I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here, but we need some mothers and dads that will fight for your kids. I got to tell you, and if I hurt anybody this morning, it's not intentional, but I tell you, I don't understand about, well, Johnny drank a beer. Oh, my goodness, let's run it, rush him off to some program. Okay, those programs are good. They're fine. They have helped a lot of people, you know, to be truthful with you. But first, before you run him off to some whatever, some group that's going to tell him to, anyway, before you do that, get on your knees, fast, and pray, and say, God, I dedicated that boy, that girl to you when she was just a baby, and I just declared, and that's what I used to do. I would get on my knees, or I would walk past my living room, and I would just say, and I would declare, I dedicated him to you as a baby, and I'm believing that you're going to take a hold of him. I believe you're going to deliver that boy and set him free. You don't let the government and other social places raise your children. If they have a little, what is that thing, ADD or whatever, if they have a moment of that, they all do. There's some grown-ups in here that have that. You don't have to go get on drugs. We'll pray for you. We'll get you. God will set you free. Now, if you need medication, I'm not against medication. You pray as you take it. That God will use that medication to help you. But before you get in all that stuff, some of that medication will make you loopy. Loopy and high as a kite. And you're talking to them and they're going, hello. Yes. I'm so happy today. I'm not depressed anymore. No kidding, you're high as a kite. This is not my sermon. I'm moving along here because I don't want to get in trouble. But I'm just telling you, before you go leaning on the medication of doctors, and I'm not against that, I you know, because they do a lot of good. But before you do all that, before you turn your children over to some teacher, before you turn your children over to some doctor and put them on drugs and stuff, go to God. I challenge you, run to God. Run to the altar and say, I need help. Help me, God. I need help. And he will be there for you. Now, some women, they say, well, you talk to them about getting saved. And they say, well, I'm waiting on my husband to get saved. That's a bunch of junk. Y'all better pray I get more sleep next time. I'm telling you, because that's just an excuse, and you know it. You're not waiting on your husband to get saved. You just like what you're doing. Eunice, Timothy's mother, was married to a Greek, and he was an unbeliever. And she not only served the Lord herself, but she was a wonderful example to her son. Don't wait on anybody to get saved. I dare you, women of God in this church and anybody in this church, rise up today. Be the woman of God he's calling you to be. I'm talking about not this little mamby-pamby, get little flowers and a little rainbow and la, la, la. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about get on your knees and get down to nitty-gritty and pray like you've never prayed before. I'm talking about pushing the plate back and praying and saying, God, I need those heathen kids of mine saved, or I don't know what I'm going to do. I heard about, you've heard me talk about the Italian mama. And she needed spaghetti that time. She said, hey, God, I need some more spaghetti. Hey, you know. And how that God just kept adding spaghetti to her pot that she fed this great big family. I also read this same woman. Now, I'm telling you, she was a mighty woman of God. This is a woman I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about fluff. I'm talking about down to the bone, ready, full of faith. She started praying for her heathen husband. He was a pistol. Before she got saved, he'd beat her every day almost just because he could. And but then when she got filled up with the Holy Ghost, he was afraid of her. And eventually she brought in the whole family. Her faith brought in the whole family, including him. And so he decided to lay down his cigarettes. He just thought, well, I don't need these cigarettes no more. I'm going to serve God. Well, he went to work one day, and one of the men there, their wives had a baby, so they were passing out cigars. And he got one, and he hid it in his pocket so Mama wouldn't see it. And he went home, and he snuck out to the barn. Everybody was afraid of this man, but he was afraid of Mama. And he went out into the barn, and he lit up that cigar. This is good. And don't you know, out of nowhere, a hand came out of nowhere and smacked it right out of his mouth. And he ran in and told Mommy, he said, as a hand came out of nowhere and smacked the cigar out of my mouth. And she goes, good, that's what you needed to do. Yes. That's the kind of woman I'm talking about. That's the kind of woman that's got a lot of backbone and nerve that will stand up in the face of hell and say, you're not going to take my child. You're not going to take my family. Woo! Because of the faith of Lois, we see that at some point in her life, her daughter Eunice came to serve the Lord. What are we doing to make an impact on our children and our grandchildren? What are you confessing over them? You want to know what I confess over my grandsons? By the way, I found out this week that Troy and Paige are having another son, so that gives me 6 grandsons. And do you know what I confess over them? I confess over them that the greater one is on the inside of them. I confess over them that they are mighty men of God. Luke is still in diapers, but he is a mighty man of God because I am calling those things that be not as though they were. Instead of calling things as you see it, well, they're just a troublemaker, and they're just a big mouth that's always giving me trouble and blah, 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 blah. Don't call that. Any mother can call that. I challenge you to call them as you want to see them. What do you want to see in your children? You want to see them saved and sanctified and filled up with the Holy Ghost and fire and working in the church? Is that what you want? Then start saying it. Start believing it. I dare you. We need to pray over our children and grandchildren every single day. There is a devil out there who wants them. And we need to pray over them every day. Tell them Bible stories about how Jesus really loves them, and tell them that Jesus is coming soon. Tell them. They need to know that any day, any minute, any second before I finish this sermon, it would not shock me in the least for Jesus to come back and take his own. You better tell them now when they're little, because sometimes you only have a window of time to tell them. And then they will be influenced by other people. Tell them every day that you love them. Encourage them. Be glad to be their mother. Quit looking at it like it's a chore. Oh my goodness, to hear some mothers, it's like it's a chore to be a mother. Yes, there are difficult days. I remember that. I do. But at the same time, God has allowed you to have a child and to love that child. And you need to love on him and just celebrate the crazy stuff with them. And you don't believe some of the stuff I do with my grandsons. I had a Nerf gun. Okay, just to let you know, on Facebook right now, there is a most wanted sign out for me because I'm holding a Nerf gun, machine gun, okay? And my son-in-law Trent has put on there most wanted, $50,000. If any of you turn me in, so help me. Then we know that Eunice had a son named Timothy, and she named him Timothy because it means honoring God. Lois and Eunice must have had some kind of high hopes by naming him that. Later, when Paul met Timothy for the first time, he was only 12 years old, but he was a Christian with a strong testimony at 12 years old. How do you think that happened? I can tell you how that happened. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. I'll tell you something else. I don't understand. Here I go. I'm meddling. I'll just tell you right now. I don't understand grown adult parents that are afraid to get involved in their children's lives, their grown children's lives, or their teenagers' lives. Oh, my goodness, I'm all up in my kids' business. I'll just tell you that right now. If I see that they're making a mistake, I tell them. And I just say, just let me say it. Because, you know, sometimes they'll go, Mom, you just don't understand. And I'm like, I don't care. Just let me say it. Just let me say it so I know I said it. And that way you can't ever say it. You never told me. I heard about this mother that let her daughter, who was just a young teenager, just a girl, marry a man that was almost 40 or in his 30s and had children. And I said, why did you let her do that? Yeah, that's what I said. And she said, well, I just didn't want to interfere. And I'm like, I didn't say it to her, but I was like, oh, my goodness. I broke Melody and her boyfriend up one time. Not Trent, it was another boy she was dating. And I said, you're broke up. Go. And I did. I told him, don't you ever call back to this house and talk to my daughter like that. What is all that about? You raise them all these years, and then all of a sudden you just take your hands off and you just say, okay, world, take them over? No. All right, I'm moving on. I am. I just don't understand that, but okay. And then Timothy, Paul referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. It was even said that Timothy was chosen to be Paul's successor. In our day and time, that would probably be like Billy Graham coming to town and being so impressed with your son or your daughter and asking, could they travel with me on my missionary team? That's what this was like, a very crude illustration. Paul the Apostle was a mighty man of God, but he saw this boy Timothy, and he's like, I want that boy on my team. That was impressive. We also see in 2 Timothy 3:15 where the Apostle Paul says, and thou from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, talking about Timothy, which are able, from a child, he said, and from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So we see that Timothy's grandmother and mother put the word of God into him. He memorized it. He knew it. I'm telling you, kids are watching all kind of junk these days. I was flicking through the channels, and I saw this bad girls, something about how to be a bad girl. I'm like, oh, well, I got to watch this, you know. And I was watching a few minutes of it, and it was so disgusting, and it turned my stomach, and I'm like, click, 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 because I'd rather go watch River Monsters and that mess. That was just disgusting. That's what the world will teach you, how to be a bad girl. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your children and your grandchildren, they are your mission field. If you don't ever get to go to Africa, if you don't ever get to go to some foreign country, you've got a mission field when you've got children and grandchildren. That is your mission field. I truly believe that this morning we have some courageous women right here in this church. I know we do. And that you are willing to stand up in these last and final days and be the woman of God that you need to be. To be the mother to your children that you need to be. To minister to them. Do you know that when you even give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you do it in love and you do it through the love of the Lord, that is ministering? Because sometimes young mothers are at home and they're like, where is my life going? All I see is diapers and little kids and food and all this stuff. And you wonder, where's my life going? Right there. Those kids, when you give them peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you do it in love, you are ministering. Jesus is pleased with that. And I believe that there are women in this church that are willing to do spiritual warfare for their kids. And I've said this before, and I heard Jensen Franklin say it. He said, I'm telling you, when he said this, it just went all over me. He said, underneath all that silk and underneath all that lace, women pull out this sword of the Spirit and say, I'm ready to fight. Don't let the lace and the silk fool you. I believe that we have women in this church that can have contagious faith. What does it mean to have contagious faith? Contagious means it's something that can be caught, right? So your faith can be caught this morning. I had my grandsons with me yesterday. They were in the back seat, and I heard them talking. I don't think they realized I was listening to them. And Joseph said something that must have not been faith. And I heard David say, "Don't speak it. Don't speak it, Joseph." And where did they hear that? I'm pretty sure they heard it from me. They heard it from their mother. And now they know it. And my son Troy, he kind of teases me sometimes. But there are times when I hear him say, "Don't speak that. Don't say it." He tells it to everybody around him. And I'm not trying to boast myself or anything like that, because I was taught, but I'm telling you, women, your faith can be contagious. You'll hear your faith coming out of their mouths. The things that you teach them, you think that their eyes glaze over and you think they're not hearing a word you're saying. They're listening more than you think, and it will come out of their mouth sooner or later if you are consistent. It takes consistency. So this morning, I want to finish up by telling you a little story, and then I'm going to ask for all the mothers to come up for just a few minutes. I talked to I've shared this before, but it bears repeating. I talked to a minister in Hawaii. I talked directly to this minister in Hawaii one time, and he told me that, I believe it was his cousin, that how that he got into drugs and alcohol, and he was running with a very rough bunch of people. But he had a mother in New York that knew how to touch God, and she was believing for her son to be gloriously saved and would not take no for an answer. So this son went down an alley one night doing his drug stuff, and some bad men came in and just started stabbing him all over his body. If I remember right, there were 17 knife wounds all over his body. So they picked him up, and you know, they said he's dead. They brought him back to the morgue. And he was dead, and they said, "Well, we should probably go ahead and do an autopsy." And one of the police said, "No, we have to get parental consent before we can do an autopsy." So they said, "Well," they found the mother's number, and they called her up. They said, "Ma'am, we're so sorry to inform you that your son has been killed in a violent attack tonight, all over his body. He's got 17 knife wounds, and he's gone." She said, "No, he's not. Put him on the phone." And they went through it all again. "Ma'am, we're so sorry. You just don't seem to understand. He's gone. 17 knife wounds." She said, "I said, put him on the phone. Don't that sound like a mama?" So they were like, "No." So they took the phone and they put it up to his ear. This coroner, because this mama meant business. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this fluffy by and by stuff. I'm talking right now, right here, nitty-gritty faith stuff. That's what I'm talking about. So they put the phone up to his ear, like, you know, and she started speaking to him in the name of Jesus. And she started speaking to that boy and telling him, "You're not going to die. You will live and not die." I don't know all the things that she told him, but she would not take no for an answer. And the next thing they knew, they started seeing his hands started moving. This boy that had 17 knife wounds, and he started moving, and he was alive, and went on to, if I remember correctly, went on to preach the gospel. Because this little mother said, "No, I'm not going to take that." It's like Tommy was saying, "Whose report do you believe?" Quit believing the report of everybody around you. Right here, right here, this is the report that we believe. I dare you, I double dog dare every mother in here to step up to the plate. Step up to the plate and start being the tenacious woman of God that He has called you to be. He has given you a measure of faith, and He will help you. He will help you when you fight for your kids. God will be, all of heaven is behind you saying, "Get them, go get them." And I believe that we can go to the enemy's camp and bring them back. So this morning, I would like for every mother, grandmother, mother hope to be, come on up here. Or if you are a woman and you have influence in someone's life, in a child's life, you come up too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at these beautiful women. I'm telling you, we got some of the best right here in this church. That's true. You are not victims. Don't ever take that thought. Satan will come and say to you, you're a victim. You can't do anything more. You've waited too long. Your kids are grown. It's too late for you. It is not too late. I don't care if you're 75 and they're 55. It's not too late. As long as there's life in their bodies, there is hope. So don't you buy into that lie. I'm telling you, you can start saying, this is what I believe. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I am saying that my children are saved. They are sanctified. They are filled with the Holy Ghost, and they are working in the church. You would bow your heads. Father God, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the love of each of these mothers and grandmothers that you have given us today, whose love is so precious that it can never be measured, whose patience seem to have no end. I pray for these mothers that in these last days that you will give every one of these mothers and grandmothers the strength to not give up, to not ever give up, but to fight the good fight of faith for their families. I pray, Father, that they will realize that they have the greater one living inside of them and that they are overcomers. And if they stand alone in their faith, if nobody else is standing with them, that you will give them the grace and the strength not to ever quit. I pray that you will give them love and mercy so that they can be blessings to their families. I ask you, Father, to bless them with your own special love, with your strength. And I ask you, Lord, this morning to give every one of these mothers and grandmothers and every woman that's up here this morning a holy boldness like they have never known, to be the woman of God that you are calling them to be. I pray for holy boldness, a backbone, Lord, of faith like they have never known. Lord, that they will rise up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, we give you praise for it. I thank you for these ladies. And Lord, for every mother to be in this church, I just pray and I thank you that your richest blessings be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seat.